Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to Motivate My Life Radio. I'm your host, Teresa Murphy, and today's topic is the marriage sequel, part one, how to stay motivated in your marriage. And we have today a few guests that are going to talk a little bit about their personal experiences on marriages as well as their views. And with us today, we have Sharon Mabry. Hello, Sharon.
Hi, everyone. I'm so thrilled to be here.
And we also have Kawana Jackson. Hello, Kawana.
Hello, everyone.
And we also have Kenyetta McCambry. Hello, Kenyetta.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for having me.
And thank you, ladies, again, for joining us. And what I'm going to do is just pretty much hop right into the segment because we are, of course, a little short for time this evening. The purpose of the show is to be able to help other married women and other married men and couples in general to be able to see a point of view on different aspects of marriages. And the reason why you guys were asked to join the show because from my understanding, you all have been married of different years. Some of you have been married 9 years, 14 years. Some of you have been with your spouses for 20 years. So we want people to be able to get a general idea of what marriages are like and keeping them successful. But obviously, you guys are doing a great job at that. So the first question I would like to ask is, do you think, which, and it may be a rhetorical question, but do you think honesty plays a key part to a successful marriage? And Sharon, can you give me your input on that?
Oh, definitely. I mean, and that's not just with marriage, but I think honesty is just it's just a key to any type of relationship. But it's easier if you're upfront with everything, and it's definitely like it brings more peace to you and. Once you're honest, you know, about any, regardless of what topic you're speaking of, honesty is the best case.
Okay, so when we say honesty, so it's okay to hide those shoes in the trunk from your husband and tell him that you've been had them. So I guess we're using the term loosely. So we just want people to understand when we say honesty, we're talking about, you know, how you bought that, you know, $2,000 handbag, and you know when your husband sees you say, "Well, honey, I've been had this handbag." So, is that the honesty we're speaking of, or we talking, or we're talking about, you know, real life honesty and being open in a marriage? Because I know we all are guilty of hiding something of that nature in a marriage. And the funny thing is, why I bring that up is because a lot of spouses still look at that as being dishonest. So when you look at it in our eyes, we're like, well, I didn't tell my husband for whatever the reason is that I spent money on whatever I spent the money on. So that, too, is not being honest. So do we pick and choose when we're being honest, or do we feel like, okay, well, why tell him I bought a pair of shoes because he doesn't need to know? So what do you think about that, Kawana?
I think that there should be a little bit of not so much dishonesty, but a little bit of holding back, because if you tell every single tidbit of what goes on with you, there's no mystery there. Your husband's, you know, gonna pretty much know every single. There's no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no reason for him to suspect you doing anything outside. There's no spontaneity. So if I buy a pair of shoes, I'll probably hide them in the trunk of my car for a day or two, and I know that I'm going to get home before he does, and then throw them in the closet.
So you're the guilty one.
You know, something huge. Yeah, the little teeny tiny baby ones that don't make, you know, a huge impact on anything. But the bigger things, you know, I'm definitely going to say I agree with Sharon and being upfront and honest, because they turn and you know, kind of get explosive and turn into bigger things. They turn into from a pea to a mountain overnight or in a split second. So it's just better to avoid them and just to have that peace in the household.
And so, because if you do have, if you need, you all have the husband that I have, hiding a pair of shoes to him is definitely being dishonest if I don't tell him. Okay. So let's move right along and talk a little bit about finances, and how do you manage and be successful on a financial basis in a marriage? So, Kenyatta, what I would like to ask you is, who do you think should manage the finances in a household and why?
Well, I think that the person who has the strength in that area should be that person. But now there can be a standard to that depending on how your household is ran. In my particular situation, because my spouse really doesn't have the time, he is much more busier than I am, I took that role on. But in order to take that role on, I had to do some things in order to take that role on, educate myself and get myself stronger in that area because I wasn't. I can honestly say in the beginning, I was not. That was a weakness for me. But it took trials and tribulations for me to get to that place because I did not have a choice. It was either we were going to fold or I got it together. And so that can just be a two-way street when it comes to the finances. But the biggest thing is to me is whoever does it, it has to be a communication. Communication doors have to be open when it comes to the finances because that's one of the biggest leading reasons for divorces is finance.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. And I don't think, you know, sometimes like, you know, with my personal household, I can just use for an example, I also manage the finances as far as making sure everything is taken care of. But sometimes I don't think it is duly noted how huge of a job that is. That is a really huge job to manage finances in your household. So you're exactly right. If you don't keep that line of communication open, it can definitely cause problems. Now, there are some men that will manage finances in households, just like women. I know I hear a lot of women tell me all the time, well, Teresa, you know, my husband doesn't even know when the electricity bill is due. As a matter of fact, he doesn't even know, you know, what time, you know, the water bill is due. He doesn't know anything or when anything, and he doesn't care. So my thing is, you know, it's almost like a lot of us have taken on that. And I'm sure you guys can relate. And it's okay on that piece of managing a household, but how do you feel about, and Kenyatta, I'll ask you this again. Okay, you manage the house, the finances in the household, but when it comes to money in the household, do you and your spouse have an issue if one person makes more money than the other?
Absolutely not. And of course, my husband is the one who does make the more money than I do, but I know that if I did, I don't think that it would be an issue. But again, that to me goes back to the communication because and also having an understanding. When I say communication, what I mean by that is even though I handle the finances, but he is in every part of the decisions that I make. So even in the small things, that's what we have to look at. The small things, what we think is small, those are really huge. So even in the small things, because now we're dealing with our husband's pride. So I have to say, even if it's a pair of shoes, can I go, you know,
totally
what do you
agree.
Think? And it's all about how you present it. What do you think about me having these pair of shoes? You know, and at the end of the day, if we do it and we do it right, we'll get out what it is that we want or what we're going after. But it's all about presentation.
I have to tell you this, Kenyatta. I am definitely guilty, and you definitely just taught, you know, you taught me something. And because we're going to, and I didn't get to ask you guys that just for the listeners too, far as how many years you guys have been married. Because for me, I am new to the married game, and I've been married now going on 2 years, so I'm actually still learning, basically. And that's why I like to talk to a lot of you that have different views and have experienced a lot of different things. And so, Kiwana, how long have you been married?
I've been married for 14 years now. This past February, 14 years.
And I think that is awesome. And how about you, Sharon? How long have you been married?
August will make 10 years for us.
Wow. And Kenyatta, can you tell us how long you've been married?
I've been married for 14 years as well.
Wow. And that's a long time. And this is why I thought that, you know, you ladies would be awesome for the segment, because you can help a lot of the – because there's a lot of marriages right now that they have been married 14 years and they've been married 20 years, and they're struggling because it takes a lot of hard work to maintain a successful marriage, not just to be married, but to maintain a successful marriage. And so saying
Absolutely.
That, yes, I mean, really it does. I think some people – the marriage is good, you know, when it's good, but when you hit those challenges, it's a lot of times it's when we all start to kind of want to break free and you don't want to work, because I never realized, you know, until I got married that it's literally a full-time job. So it has nothing to do with my other full-time job. That is a full-time job at it, you know, itself. So, and you have to pay attention to your marriage or it will fall apart. Now,
absolutely.
And now I think, you know, the independence of women are affecting a lot of marriages. And so what is your view on that, Sharon, as far as women being independent? Because, you know, back in the day, you know, and this is like even when my mom was coming up, you know, women didn't work like women work now. And women didn't
exactly.
They weren't breadwinners. You know, they weren't. And they didn't make money like women make money now and things of that nature. So now they feel like, well, I don't need to clean the house. We need to share the chores because I pull in just as much money as you. So what is your take? I mean, what do you think about women being independent today and how it affects marriages?
So let me just share with you guys and the listeners. This is my second marriage. I dated my high school sweetheart for 11 years, and we married, and we stayed married for 1.5 years. And I didn't give up on love, and I was fortunate and I was blessed to meet my husband, and we've been, like I said, going on 10 years. And what I would like to share is, you know, basically I do, and I do feel like we have to, you know, fight to keep, you know, to just let a man be a man. And I learned from my mistake. You do have to stroke your husband's ego and let him be a man, because in the Bible, the man is the head of the household, and you do have to respect that. And I think that foundation right there alone, me and my husband have, you know, our spirituality as our foundation, and it's just been a complete blessing.
And I just have to just kind of piggyback on something you said about, because Kenyatta had reference to something of that nature as well about you can't take away a man's pride, and a man's pride is
you
a
cannot.
Household. And that was something I actually struggled with for quite some time, was, you know, stepping down from the role of leading and allowing my husband to lead. And, you know, that comes with time and that comes with work for someone in
it
my
does.
Situation that had been single for as long as I had been single. So I think a lot of men could appreciate that, you know, that women, we do believe that you should lead the household and we should allow you to lead. And what comes with that is, you know, sometimes you have to go on mute and
yes.
humble yourself.
So let me also add, and I sat back and I did realize that I wasn't, in my first marriage, I didn't let him lead. I was the, you know, the one that made the most money. I paid all the bills. I planned all the family vacations. I did that. And I know it took something from him. So I sat back and I learned, you know, you have to let a man be a man. You really do. Kenyatta, I definitely agree with you on that.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad you ladies enforcing that, because, you know, my husband will give all you guys a hug right now, because, you know, on all honesty, I struggle with that. I mean, this is my second year of marriage, and that first year I struggled with that. And it was almost like, you know, men feel like, well, hey, if you don't need me, I don't need to be here.
Absolutely.
So,
exactly. Absolutely.
Don't need them, yeah. If you don't need them,
they need to
ahead,
feel
Kenyatta.
Needed. A man has to feel needed.
And if they don't feel needed, they feel meaningless. I mean, it's just, I mean, that's
exactly.
just how that, it's almost like, when we don't feel catered to, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, I get it now, and I'm starting to get it. And, of course, like I said, it comes with experience, which you guys do have a lot of. Now, if I were to talk to one of your spouses, and, for example, Kawana, if I was to talk to your spouse, and I would ask him, what is the one pet peeve that drives you absolutely absolutely crazy about your wife, what is that one thing that he would say?
My nagging, my constant nagging. I have a little bit of OCD-ism. I'll just say ism, because I don't know what else to call the euphemism of that. And I just don't like things not organized, not clean, not tidy. And he does the best that he can, but that would be his biggest thing with me. And I told him, I said, marriage is hard work. Easy is boring. So when you married me, you knew what you were getting into. I love you to life, but you knew what you were getting into. That's pretty much what I think that people kind of fall in place with that question.
Well, let me just say this. That nagging part, we probably can get a lot of men on the line right now that probably would go and, you know, agree with that. I'm a clean freak. You know, I don't want anything out of order. Like, you know, if you use the glass, I need you to, you know, put it in the sink immediately when you're done and so forth. So I drive my husband absolutely crazy with that. And I know the one thing that he would say probably is, you talk too much. And, you know, it's so funny because I said, well, you show me a woman that doesn't talk. but anyway, so, Sharon, what is that one thing that your spouse would say that drives him absolutely crazy that you do?
Oh, my gosh, I'm so perfect. I'm going to see. Let me see. he does not express to me a lot that, you know, like I can't say one thing, but I do know it's very irritating to him that I do sometimes let the small things bother me, as in, like, sometimes I can't block out. I have to have a way to put it. I have this need to know everything. I ask questions and questions and questions and questions. Mm-hmm. And he tries to teach me to look at the big picture, stop looking at the small picture. But it's like I have this need for information, and I have to know every single detail, every single aspect of our, you know, of our lives. And that irritates him so much.
Is that more of a control thing, or is that just Sharon has to know?
I feel like I can digest everything. If you, like Kenyatta said, presentation is everything. So if I feel like if I have all the information, I can digest things and I can handle things and I can make better decisions if I know all the information.
Okay. So it's not more about control. It's more about you having the information and then you know what you're dealing with. Is that pretty much what it is? Is that safe to say?
Exactly. Exactly. Because we all, you know, kind of accept things differently. And with me, it just feels like if I know all the facts, okay, I'm cool with it. I know everything. I know why this took place, and I know why you made this decision to do this. I'm better now that I know everything. But that just irritates him. Like, why do you have this great need to know
everything? I totally agree. And Kenyatta, I didn't ask you. So what is that one thing that, if I was to ask your spouse, that absolutely drives him crazy that you do?
Well, I'm going to have to piggyback off of Kiwana, because it would be him telling me to go somewhere and sit down because I'm a busybody. Go sit down somewhere because you is doing too much right now. That's his favorite word, you're doing too much right now. Okay. And honestly, I had to learn to do just that, like take cue. Like, okay, because I really realized that I was nagging him and thinking, you know, because I was, like she said, I was OCD. But one thing I have to say, that me and my spouse were together about 10 years prior to us being married. So I was really blessed in that place to say that really, really, really played a big part in our marriage, because we was able to really go through a lot of that and experience a lot of things before, you know, we actually got married.
He got to actually taste the cow before.
Oh, yes, he did.
And, you know, I'm going to tell you, I tell people all the time, if I had it to do over, I wouldn't do it any other way, because if I didn't, I don't believe that I would be married right today. We got married, we was 20 years old when we met. And so, you know, at 20, what you know? You don't, people, you don't know anything. You don't know a thing about being a wife. You don't know a thing about being a husband.
And so nobody told me that you ain't supposed to nag your husband. You know? And, you know, ain't nobody say that. So it was like, you know, it was a live and learn. But the biggest thing that really helped me was pick and choose my battle. That really helped me when it came to that piece. I had to really sit down and say, okay, Lord, I have to pick and choose my battle. How important is it really that he leave his drawers laying on the floor? Let's think about this.
I mean, amen.
Honestly, I really had to do that. I had to actually go through a session of a period of time where I had to literally train myself to ignore those things that were meaningless. Okay, what I learned was, and what my pastor told me, God gave you the grace to do just what it is that you're doing. So walk over there gracefully, pick them underwear up, put them in the hamper, okay, and keep it moving.
Gracefully.
Well, can I say that? Let me interrupt you really quickly.
Okay.
I know my husband really wish I would just go pick up his underwear and keep it moving. I pick them up, but I got a bunch of conversation while I'm picking them up. So as I'm picking them up off the floor, I'm just like, I probably gave him a 2-hour speech. You know, it's almost to the point where it's like, you know, I wish you would have left them there and let me pick them up. So, hey, I'm learning, you know, and that's why I thought this segment was so important because, you know, a lot of people, not just myself, they get to listen in and they get to learn some things as well because some people, again, they just don't know how to be married. And that's why the next topic that we're about to go into is really important. Communication.
Absolutely.
This is so huge in a marriage. So huge. And
absolutely.
I don't know if it's me, ladies, or, you know, does my husband, do I speak Chinese? Because, our communication sometimes, it doesn't go hand in hand. And then I'm a big communicator. My husband tends to hold things in a lot, and he'll hold them in until he feels a need to say something. Because in his mind, you don't have to say everything you're thinking. Well, I'm almost the opposite. If something's bothersome to me or if I feel a certain way about something, you know, hey, I want to talk about it, address it, put it on the table, and let's keep it moving. I don't believe in having things bottled up inside of you because sometimes when the explosion happens, it's not good.
Absolutely.
So my next question is, what do you think the biggest issue is when it comes to men and women communicating? Like, where do you think that mishap is where there's sometimes not an understanding how men communicate versus how women communicate? And I'm going to ask you that question, Sharon.
Well, I think it's plain and simple. Sometimes we can be complex individuals, but I speaking about women. But at the end of the day, there shouldn't be a lot of rules. Like, never let rules kind of like rule out common sense. We all know that men and women think differently. And so my husband's view of communicating is totally different from my view of communicating. So it goes back to my previous response was my need to know everything. You know, he thinks differently. You know, he communicates what he feels like is necessary for me to know. Or if there's anything he feels like this may mess up her day, this may stress her out. You know, I don't want my wife to be, you know, stressed out or upset. So I'm going to pick and choose what I say to her or what I tell her. But at the end of the day, I feel like I need to know all of that. Like, I'm a big girl. I can handle things. So we just think differently as far as how we define communication.
Well, are you the same with him? Do you have an open communication with your spouse?
Tell him everything. And sometimes he blocks me out because he doesn't want to know everything.
But
yeah,
like
I do. Yeah, he blocks me out a lot.
It's almost like when your husband becomes your best friend, and you have, like, I don't care what happens throughout your day, and I think that's something I believe that my husband is still working on, that you're the first I want to know, whether it's good, whether it's bad, whether somebody in the family done pissed me off. You're the first person I call because in my mind, you are truly my best friend, and that's who I want to
open
to because, you know, I think you, at this point, you get me. And then sometimes he's like, that's girl stuff. Like, you know, I'm not one of your girlfriends. So it's like, come on. And I'm just talking and I'm venting. So it's really funny that you say that. Now, on the communication level with you, Kiwana, and your husband, what do you think sometimes the miscommunication comes in at? Like, where is it that you guys may miscommunicate where one, for example, has there been times where you communicated something to your husband and he took it or perceived it in the wrong manner? So where do you think would be some of one of the issues where you and your husband may have had a miscommunication issue?
My husband listens a little bit too much. My husband, I work long hours, so for him to see me, it's just like, you know, what happened today? What's going on? It's like how if you have a puppy or you have a dog, when you get home from work or wherever you've been, they're so happy to see you. That's kind of my husband. He's very happy to see me, eager to hear about my day. And I think sometimes he listens too attentively, which is a good thing. But things I forgot that I've told him, or I may have divulged too much information, or I may have had an issue that's now resolved, he'll refresh my memory. Well, no, it can't be resolved because this is what you told me. It's not that easy for it to be resolved. We need to go back and rethink this. So that for me, it's like he dissects conversations that we have. And then that'll frustrate me. So then that leaves me. He's the talker sometimes, and I'll cut off. And I'm the big talker. Like anyone in my family, anyone of my friends that know me knows I'm a big talker. But when my husband and I sit down, he's the big talker. I feel like I'm getting a lecture sometimes because I don't even get to hear talk for 20 minutes. And I'm sitting here, I get maybe 2 minutes out of that conversation. And that's because he's dissecting everything that I've said before.
Well, at least you can get him to talk because, you know, at the end of the day, most women don't experience that. You know, we're actually having a conversation now about the communication between men and women, and it sounds like for a lot of us, the man is not the communicator, and we are more we have more strength in that area of communicating because, and it's not sometimes that they don't communicate. They just don't communicate things as we would actually communicate
right.
them, and I think that's where
exactly.
the miscommunication comes in because our communication method and theirs are not the same.
Exactly.
You know, my husband has a tendency sometimes, I don't know if you all experience this, but his way of communicating sometimes, he likes to start texting. And, you know, I'm like, well, I think that's a conversation we need to have, you know, verbally and not through text. And, you know, unfortunately at this point that, you know, the world that we live in now is just so technical savvy that it's almost like you can get away without having a conversation these days because of text
right.
messaging or, you know, which I don't think it's really good because I think you need to be able to have that one-on-one communication at a given time with your spouse. That's really important. So
yeah, because you have that eye contact. It's important. Communication is important, and that eye contact needs to be there. Texting kind of breaks that away, you know, to the seriousness of whatever that conversation may entail.
And then I don't know if
you're
really listening to me or not.
When you're conversating. Yeah, exactly. Body language with my husband. Let me add in, when me and my husband are speaking, body language means a lot to me because a lot of times he kind of says what he thinks I want to hear, but his body language and his eyes tell me everything, the truth of how he really feels. So you're texting, you know, sometimes it's okay, but I agree with you, Teresa. You do really need that verbal communication because then I know what's truly how you really feel sometimes.
Yeah, I think it's important, and communication, too, and I'm sure you ladies would definitely agree on this, that is a huge ingredient for a successful marriage. Do you all agree on that?
Sure, certainly.
Because communication can actually lead to a failed marriage, and it's things that you have to work on all the time when it comes to communicating and understanding, because, you know, I promise to me, men and women definitely are not from the same planet.
Absolutely not.
And I'm learning that I'm learning that as I grow, that we are not from the same planet. So I cannot expect the same communication from him that I would give. I just want the communication to be there. Period. However, you know, it comes across.
Yes.
So
absolutely, I would totally agree.
Yeah, because it can fail a marriage. I mean, there are marriages right now that fail because people don't talk. And, you know, another thing, it's not good to go talk to other people if you're not talking to your spouse.
Absolutely.
And I think
you should be talking to your spouse first. Yes, absolutely.
And that's another big issue, because if you're not going to communicate with your spouse, then you don't need to go outside the walls of the home and talk to other people about your problems and what's going on, because it's not going to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So
absolutely,
that's really important. And so the next topic that we're going to talk about is compromise, which is another another great ingredient for a successful marriage. Now, when I say compromise, we all know what that word means, and we all know that everyone has, to me, some selfishness in them somewhere. It may be a teeny bit. Some of us don't have as much as others. But when it comes to compromising, how do you feel about the entire compromising situation when you feel so strongly about something and your husband feels strongly about it as well? How do you guys come together to an agreement to compromise on a situation? And Kenyatta, I'll ask you that.
Well, for me, I would have to say that being humble, somebody in that relationship has to humble themselves. That's the only way you're going to come to an agreement, because we both can go back and forth all day long. But in the midst of that disagreement, someone has to be the person to really humble themselves and say, I'm gonna take this one for the team. I'm gonna take this one for the team, because it also has to do with, I would not look at it as compromising. I would not choose that word to use. The word that I would probably use for me would be to submit, because that's what it is. It's mm-hmm. submission. It's submission. And women don't like that word. You know,
I'm over here taking notes right now, because submission, honey, I'm taking me some notes. Did you say submission and be humble all in one sentence? Okay, Kenyatta.
All in one. Roll over, honey, roll over. Because, honestly, it hurts. It hurts, and I'm not going to say it gets better, because it doesn't. When you're in the midst of that pain, those feelings are going to always come up. And you're going to want, this is what I want. But the one thing that I would have to say that allowed me to submit was love, because love was the very essence that allowed me to say, hold up, I can do this one. I can take this one for the team, because I know whatever the outcome going to be, he got me. Or however it turns out, I know that we're going to have each other back. So even though I might not, and really, we have to really be honest as women. Most of the time that when we don't want to, it's because we're afraid that it's not going to be what we want it to be. And so it's that fear, letting go of that fear, saying no matter what the outcome is going to be, I know you got me. And that's coming from both sides.
Well, women out there that are listening, I don't want to interrupt you, Kenyatta. I do apologize for that. But I just want women to make sure that they heard you. So you women that are out there listening to the show right now, being submissive and being humble is a key to a successful marriage. And I stress that because I know, as Kenyatta said, a lot of women, particularly with this independent spirit, have a hard time and struggle with being submissive as well as humbling themselves to their spouse. So I totally agree with you on that, Kiyat. I just think a lot of women now, including myself, that is, you need to continuously to work at that, because look how long, you know, you were able to work at that to get where you are, and the importance
Absolutely.
Of you having a successful marriage. I think that is phenomenal. So women out here, we're definitely listening to Kenyatta McCamery to be submissive, to be humble. Take her advice, at least try to take heed. She has been married 14 years, and she's been with her spouse about 20-something years prior to them getting married. So you definitely want to, you know. And let me ask you this, Kenyatta, since you talk about humble and submissiveness, what do you think is the reason why? Why do you think women don't humble themselves to their spouse?
Well, I think it's just really different. Women don't. Some women don't understand it. Some women look at it differently, and that's why when you said compromise, I wanted to switch that up, because I wanted to be able to show people, no, don't look at it that way, because this is what it really is. But we sometimes will tell ourselves what we want. We'll make it to be what we want. But this is the reality. This is what it is. It's submitting. And women are scared of that word. Even if you the breadwinner, you running the show, whatever the case may be, it really doesn't matter. At the end of the day, in order to have peace, you have to submit. As a woman, you have to submit. Because the one thing that I do truly, truly believe on the flip side of that is a marriage is all about taking care of each other, serving one another.
Oh, I totally agree.
That is my number one key, and I would have to honestly say the number one success to my marriage is serving one another. And when I say serving, I mean serving. Yes, rub your man's feet, stroke his ego. You do whatever it is that you have to do as a woman. Hit whatever it is that you know. Get to know your man. You got to get to know what he wants. Okay? And I'm telling you, if I don't tell nobody nothing else, that would be my number one. Serve your man. And don't look at it, you know, some women, I'm not going to do, honey, you don't know what you missed. Because when you serve him, he going to bring it. Trust me,
It's safe to say, basically, you will get a return from your investment.
Absolutely.
You definitely, okay.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a really key point, because I think a lot of women need to hear that. I think women mix up sometimes that serving and stroking egos, and you start to make it about you and what you want and what you don't receive. And I think that you will get all of that. And I have to agree with you on that, Kenyatta. You will get an investment on your return, but you have to put in the work as well.
You have to. Another thing, I'm sorry to interrupt, but what women have to understand, I'm not a passive woman. If you cannot hear it in my voice, ain't nothing passive about me. And so it is not about that, of serving your husband. You need to know what that really means and who your husband is, because we have to serve our husband in a different manner. So don't look at it that way.
Well, let me
add this, Teresa, if you don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
If we look at the big picture, the Bible tells us that a man should love his wife in the same way that he loves his own body. So with that, you know, being said, that your husband's love is going to be, you know, nourishing and cherishing and protective. When your husband gives you all that, submitting, it's not an issue.
I very well said, Sharon, definitely. And I don't think a lot of people probably look at it in that perspective. And that's kind of where I was going to go with what I was going to talk about next. And kind of switch the gears a little bit was the spirituality, because at the end of the day, you're exactly right. That is what the Bible says. And so just like we know in the Bible, the man is the king of his throne, and you can't knock him off of that throne. And again, you're affecting his pride, and men's pride, I tell you, and that ego, it is attached to them. I mean, men's pride is almost like when your husband doesn't have money. When your husband goes through something, or your husband doesn't have money, or your husband loses a job, and I'm just using all these things as an example, and you're not going to get it as a woman, but his pride is destroyed as a man. And guess what he doesn't need? He doesn't need the woman he don't need us to jump on top of him and keep our foot in his neck and keep knocking him down, because believe it or not, even if he doesn't say it verbally, he feels pain from not being able to lead his household. The average man, when he cannot lead his household, believe it or not, he is bothered by not being able to do so. So they don't need us with the extra reminding them of them not leading the household and why they're not leading the household. You know, if anything, they still need us to support them. And that was something I needed to learn, because I was not clear on how that whole situation works, far as stroking your man's ego and, you know, don't destroy your man's pride. I think that is really important. And women out here, you definitely need to listen, because that is the worst thing you can do. Because guess what happens? And this is just real conversation. You don't stroke your man's ego and you destroy your man's pride. But then you got Susie up the street, she gonna stroke his ego.
Yeah.
No, I mean, this is just being real, and you have to be really careful with that because technically that is your job and that is what comes with marriage. So don't make it about yourself because I've heard women tell me, well, he doesn't stroke my ego. And somebody has to give. So I totally agree with, you know, you ladies with that as far as stroking a man's ego and not destroying his pride and because that's really important to them. So going into the next question, and Kawana, I'll ask you this question. As far as staying connected with your spouse, because we all work, you know, some of us still have, you know, kids that are in school, and some of us have businesses that we're running and we're trying to build. How do you and your spouse stay connected? Like, what do you guys do to make sure you stay connected?
Well, what we've implemented, and as, you know, Kenyatta was saying about, you know, just the communication, what we've done is we've been communicating a lot more as we've gotten older and we've gotten, I mean, I've known my husband since I was 14 years old and, you know, so I've known him as a friend first, and that friendship allowed us to be able to trust each other. And when you trust someone, you know, you stay kind of open to what's going on with them and just having that sense of compatibility and trusting that person. And that's the key for us. You know, just I've learned just recently that I need to be more obedient to my husband. And I don't mean in the sense of just doing whatever he says, but I need to be obedient so that we can receive our blessing, so that, you know, God's not going to bless anything that's messy. So I've learned that I have to be obedient in the sense of just loving my husband and trusting him and, you know, just, you know, having that date night and, you know, that lunch date and, you know, just, you know, pretty much carving out that time for just him and I. That's basically what we've been working on in the last, you know, few years or so.
And you have to have it. I think it's important because you have to stay connected. You know, you can't get so wrapped up in your kids' lives because, I mean, come on, we all know as parents, at some point your kids are going to grow up, they're going to leave the house, and guess what? You're going to be sitting there kind of twiddling your thumbs, not knowing what happened to all the years of that marriage or relationship that you did not nurture. So you have to pay attention.
Exactly. If he's asking me out for dinner and I'm being disobedient, I don't have time for dinner. I have time to do this. I have time. I'm making time for everything else but him. That's being disobedient, like as you were just saying. And that's not carving out the time that him and I need to have that. We need to have that time. We need to be able to do that.
Because that gives you guys time to reconnect. You know, it's the same way I hear a lot of women that talk about, you know, how they no longer, you know, they're not having sex in their relationship any longer while they're married. You know, and all these things are a part of keeping you connected while you're married. So I think you need to go back and revisit. Yeah, if you're having those issues in your marriage, because that is a part of keeping you connected, then I think you need to go back and revisit some things and try to come up with some goals on how to make sure you guys stay connected. So, Sharon, what are some of the things that you and your spouse do to make sure that you stay connected?
Date. We still date each other. And I was given the advice of my pastor, just always be in competition with each other as far as who can outlove each other the most. And you know, if we keep that thought process, I think we'll be good. You know, like, what can I do, you know, to make him feel this way? Or always give him words of affirmation and physical touch. But definitely we date a lot and we just see who can outlove each other the most.
And I think that's important because you too, do you have children as well, Sharon, that are in school?
Exactly. I have a teenager and a young one.
So you have to give time and attention to the kids, and you have to be a mom, and so you have to stay connected. And I think that's important. And dating is really important. You know, you guys ever hear that some people, they get married and sometimes they get comfortable? And you know what I mean when I say they get comfortable?
Yes.
And so, yeah, you get comfortable. I was just watching I was just watching Atlanta Housewives, and I was listening to how Todd was talking to Candy about her going to bed with a bonnet on her head. And it's so funny because I remember when I met my husband, you could not get me to tie my hair up. Like I would lay on my arms all night and my hands all night before I would tie my hair up. You literally could not get me to tie my hair up. Yeah, exactly. And then, so now it's like, oh, I don't care, honey. I wipe, you know, everything clean, wipe the face, tie the hair up, and this is what you get. Now, I think it's important for you to get naked and peel off all your layers. And when I say naked, I don't mean physically. I mean just for your husband to see who you truly are. No makeup or whatever case. Sometimes you have a bad hair day. But I get it when they say it. Your husband don't want to look at you with the scarf around your head and the bonnet on. And it's unfortunate because a lot of us do that so we can look good the next morning when we wake up. But
right.
On a situation like so, I mean, really, on a situation like that, how would you handle that? Like, if your husband's just like, look, I just don't want to see that scarf on your head. And in your mind, you're like, oh, my goodness, I got to put my scarf on because I need to look cute in the morning. You know, you either want me to look pretty at night and then I'm going to look a mess in the morning or vice versa. So how would you handle that, you know, Kenyatta, if your husband just flat out say, I don't want to see a scarf or bonnet on your head at night?
Well, I think for me, the way I look at it is we have different phases of our relationship. We all go through different phases. I would say every 5 years mm-hmm. you need to switch it up. Because
okay.
what worked 5 years ago don't work now.
Okay.
And so
I can agree with
because
that.
We change. Our husbands change. We change every 5 years is what I call a 5 year mark. Every 5 years we are changing. And so you have to spice it up. You still now one thing
okay.
we haven't changed is date night. We've always went on dates and we continue to go on dates. I'm actually
okay.
on my way to a date now. But we about to go on a date. But no, you really have to. You just have to. And the other thing will be love language. I think you really have to understand your spouse's love language. You can know without saying what it is that you need to do. And then some things you can't. Some things you have to communicate. It when it comes to sex, you have to tell each other. You know what it is that you need. I need you to touch
mm-hmm.
me. I need you to hit that spot. Ain't no, we're not gonna figure this out.
Let me ask you this. Okay, well, let me interrupt you really quickly and ask you this. When you say you have to communicate, even on the sexual side of it, how will one communicate to their husband? I guess. Well, I need you to do this, that, and the third without, and on a sexual basis, without the husband being offended by it, because you do have men out there.
Well,
I think you have to know
your spouse. Right, and I think that goes back to you have to know your spouse, and it's how you guys communicate. It's really, for us, it's the same communication, but I think you just have to set the tone. You can't just come out of nowhere, y'all just wherever, and then you just blurt out, this is what I need, you know. Again, it's about presentation, and you might have to set the tone. You might have to go out to dinner and have this conversation. You know, but you have to have that conversation because there is no, we just go, and now some people probably can, you might can physically, you know, figure it out. Well, let me touch you here or make it, you know, let's touch me there. I mean, it can be different ways that you can communicate that, but it has to be communicated because that, like we were talking about earlier about your man stepping outside the household, well, that's because it wasn't communicated. And
mm-hmm.
somewhere down the line, somebody did not communicate what it was that they needed. And so if you communicate that, then nobody else, you know, has to communicate that to your spouse because you need to be communicating that to what
well,
it is that you need or even ask him, what is it that you need, you know?
Or send a text message?
phone sex. I mean, look, you do whatever it is that you need to get your point across. You got to text it.
I have a really quick question. I do have a caller that typed in a question, and I just want to ask you ladies a question. Her question is,
and if you ladies whoever wants to chime in and answer, start talking first, that's fine. How would you find a way to forgive a spouse when he's done something wrong?
And that's the question from the caller. Who wants to kind of chime in on that?
How do you forgive a spouse if he said something wrong?
No, if he's done something wrong.
oh, he does something wrong. Well, you want to talk about your feelings. Talk about what it is that upset you or bothered you about whatever it was that they had done to you. You want to talk about it because when you hold it in, it gets worse. It bottles up, and then when it explodes, it turns into something real ugly and real nasty and real vicious. So you don't want to bottle up those feelings. If something's really upset you to the point where you need to communicate about it, then you do just that. You communicate about it because at the end of the day, when you put your head to the pillow and you're still mad and he doesn't know that you're mad, that communication is pretty much going to turn into an argument. If there is no communication, it's an argument at that point.
Well, Kawana, how do you accept something like, okay, if it's something that he's done that's hurtful to you, how are you able to move forward? How are you able to move past that? And I know they say once you forgive is what I have learned. Once you forgive, you're supposed to keep moving forward, and that means you're not supposed to keep reminding your spouse of the situation that took place. So, I mean, how do you even work towards?
There's a couple of things. Well, I'll just to touch back on communication. You need to talk about it, and in order to move past it, and you may want to, if it's that difficult, or you know, to talk about, you may want to involve a third party. You want to have maybe a mediator, or maybe try therapy if it's that detrimental to you, and you want to fight for your marriage. If this is concerning a marriage, you want to be able to fight for your marriage because no one gets married to get divorced, and we've all heard that before. So those are the couple of things that, you know, I'm looking into if that was my situation. But if my husband does something to piss me off and it is purple, green, yellow, and blue, and I'm in love with pink, we need to have a serious sit down. We need to talk about this because it's going to turn into a huge problem later.
And I guess, and I hope the caller is actually listening as well. And so, Sharon, I'll ask you too. Like, what do you think is a good way to move forward after your spouse has hurt you? Like, how do you move forward, and how do you forgive and move forward, and in a situation like that without just giving up? Because we know it's easy to give up. It's very easy to give up.
It is easy. Yeah, it is easy. But if you don't forgive, it can destroy you. And it also can destroy the others around you. It can actually make you sick if you continue to harbor the unforgiveness spirit. At the end of the day, if you take yourself out of it, you know, because you're really thinking about how this made you feel. Take yourself out of it, and look at the big picture. I guess have that person that chimed in. Look, Matthew 6:14. If he forgive men, you know, just ask them, well, if the Lord forgave us, we can forgive anybody. Because we know we are not perfect, and we have to ask for forgiveness all the time. So if the Heavenly Father has forgiven us, we can forgive those that have hurt us. And we just move on. You move on.
And I know it sounds, you know, it's easier said than done, because I have been in a place where I've had to forgive my spouse for something he's done that hurts me. And I know sometimes, like, my take on it is don't stay stuck. You don't want to get up every day. And so you're right, Sharon. You don't want to get up every day and have this hovering over you, because it really, at the end of the day, it's going to hinder you from moving forward.
Absolutely.
So
it's going to block you.
Yeah, you start to form anger. And you don't. And guess what's going to happen? 9 times out of 10, he's going to go ahead and move forward, because men don't think like women. Because guess what happens? When they wake, when they hurt you on Monday, when Thursday comes, they want to know why we're still talking about it. So but we harbor things as women. Women harbor things. We hold it and we harbor it. And I think the first step is, when you forgive, you have to mean it. And don't forgive just for that person. Forgive for you too. And that's how you set yourself free. And you set yourself free to be able to move forward. And, you know, if the situation is so detrimental, I always tell people to the point where you're just so stuck and you just can't move forward, then you might need to reevaluate the relationship. I don't tell anyone to leave their marriage. I'm never going to tell anyone to leave their marriage. That's a decision that individual will have to make on their own. But maybe you need to seek out therapy, because it might not be about the person that hurt you. It may be about you not knowing how to forgive. I mean, it's not
exactly
your spouse hurt you. Yeah, guess what? Your child can do something. You know, and it's funny because we separate certain individuals in our lives. Our kids will hurt us and do things and disappoint us. We forgive them.
And we
don't stop
them.
Being their parent.
Mm-hmm.
We don't stop being their parent. We don't stop giving them. We don't stop loving them. But when your spouse does something to hurt you, you hold him accountable in his own separate arena. Like, he gets held accountable separately. He doesn't get forgiveness. But I think forgiveness should be for everyone.
It's a different title of hurt. It's a different title of hurt with our husbands versus our children or, you know, mother, uncle,
it is.
Whatever. It's a different title.
I agree.
And that's what we have to learn to move past. We really do because, as Sharon was saying, if we've been forgiven by the Father, who are we to tell someone that we can't forgive them and move past whatever is bothering us? Because we're doing ourselves a disservice. We're not able to move past whatever the hurt is. Now we have this blockage and this wall up, and we can't do anything. We're stuck.
And then, and Kiyata, I'm going to let you go in a few minutes because I know you're going on date night, and I'm going to let you go. But I did want to ask you one last question before you release yourself from the call. What's your take on forgiving if your spouse does something to hurt you?
Well, I believe the first thing would be forgiveness, and that's for yourself. That's first.
Well, how do you take that step, Kenyatta? Like, what do you do? What's that initial step when you wake up in the morning, like, you know, hey, I got to get this off of me. This negative spirit has got to come off of me. And how do you even move forward? Like, what do you read? Do you get your Bible out?
I have to take it. I have to take it to the Father because that's between you and him. And I have to, because if you can't forgive yourself, how are you going to forgive the other person? It's impossible. You can't do it. And so when we tend to mess up or we do things, we harbor that in our own self, and then we take it out on our spouse. So it's not really the spouse that you're angry with. It's yourself. And so until you can deal with your own, you always have to do self-check. Self-check is mandatory in any marriage, and that's with both parties. You have to do self-check on yourself because you have to be right. And if you're not right, what can you possibly do for the other person? You ain't no good to the other individual if you ain't even good to your own self. So that is why you have to forgive yourself, and you have to do a self-check. And you do, it's everybody's different. You have to figure out what works for you. If it's going to pray to the Father, if you got to go in the corner, or like I say, I'm going to my office, which is the bathroom, I'll be back. Do whatever it is that you need to do to get yourself together. Because once you get yourself together, God will work the rest of that out. He'll bring it all together for you.
And you know what? I want to just say something to you on that effect, Kenyatta, because if most of you have read my book, I went through a lot, and I harbored feelings for a long time, and they traveled with me. And I tell you, I was the most happiest on the outside, unhappiest person on the inside that I had ever met. And I carried those feelings of hurt and pain into the next situation, because regardless, if your relationship ends with that individual that hurt you, you're not done with it until you deal with it, because you're going to go into the next situation with the next person, and guess what? If you haven't dealt with that pain from the previous situation, you're still going to have a problem. You're still going to have a problem.
Exactly.
And that's pretty much what happened to me. So I had to go to therapy so I could no longer be a victim, or thought that I was a victim anyways. So there are some avenues that you can take. Ladies, if you're out there, men as well, if you feel that you have a hard time forgiving people, I think that it's best to work on that earlier than later, because you really can hurt yourself more than that person that actually hurt you.
Yeah.
And so, Kiyata, we're going
to
let you go ahead. Yeah. Oh, you definitely got to walk in it every day when you wake up.
You got to walk in it. You got to walk in it. Once you forgive yourself, giving that other individual, and now you have to see change. You have to see change. And that's where the trust is going to come in, the trust on both parts. Because that's how you rebuild the trust of the hurt. You have to see change. Not, oh, I'm sorry, I won't do it again, and you can talk, but you have to walk in it, and you got to see change. I can tell my spouse all day long, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. But he has to see the change. And then you have to walk
in. Action speaks volume, basically.
Absolutely.
Action speaks volume. So apologizing, it has to be an action and not just a statement, and I totally agree with that. And then if you're gonna forgive and move forward, I think you don't need to continuously reminding that individual of what they did, because
absolutely,
we do have bad habits. All of us, you know, some of us are guilty of it. That, you know, at your convenience, you bring it back up. At your convenience,
right,
you bring it back up, and it's not fair to that person that No, so they don't have to walk in that. Well, Kenyatta, we know you're on date night, and I just want to tell you that I do appreciate your time this evening and joining the segment, the marriage sequel. There will be a part two, and we will be in contact with you just to let you know when that will be as well. And by all means, please, you and your spouse, enjoy date night. We're not going to hold you up any longer. And thank you for your time today. And we'll be talking with you soon. And you can just drop off the call. That'll be fine. I'm going to wrap up with the lady shortly.
Thank you for having me. I enjoyed every minute of it. All right.
Thank you for your input.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Well, Sharon and Tawana, we are going to wrap up shortly. And I just had one or two last questions before we wrap up that I did not get to. And the one of the questions I did want to ask is, we always talk about how women feel and how we feel about it. And what do you think your spouse feel is the most important, you know, to maintain a successful marriage? Like, what would your spouse say? And I'll ask you that
first. Yeah.
Well, surprisingly or not, my husband shocked me a couple of years ago when he came to me and he says, I'm always complimenting you. You know, I'm always saying, oh, how this outfit looks good on you and how, you know, I love the way, you know, this looks on your face or your facial features. He says, but you never, he said, you don't compliment me. And sometimes I think men need that as much as women need it. You know, like I think my husband wanted to know that I was attracted to him as much as he was attracted to me. And we think men don't care about those small things, but some of them do. So I would say I definitely had to learn, and I listened, and I definitely had to put that into practice of definitely giving him the compliment, you know, that he pushed to me as well.
And okay, and so, Tawana, what would you say that your spouse would actually say to, you know, what would you guys have, what would he say right now if I was to ask him what would make managing a successful marriage, what would his answer be to that?
I would say honesty. He's big on honesty, even the small little things. And, you know, like me buying something at the store, whether it's for him or not, you know, something as small as that, he just would like to know. Because it just makes him feel like we're connected and we're not holding anything back from each other. And there are no surprises. He doesn't want somebody else to tell him something that I could have told him. So it's just, you know, having that honesty and having that openness and being able to communicate with one another. That's his biggest thing. He says it all the time. So I think if he was on that game show, the marriage show, and they ask you that question and you hold up your little card or whatever, I think I would get a point for that one because he would definitely say honesty.
Yay.
Yeah.
And so one other question that a lot of married women actually want to know is, what is the hardest thing that you have to deal with to manage your marriage to be successful? Like, what is one of the biggest challenges that you had to deal with in keeping your marriage on track and managing a successful marriage? I'll let you go, Sharon. What's a challenge in your marriage?
I gotta
that you
go first again.
Yes. yes, I'm picking on you tonight.
Wow.
Because marriages do have challenges.
I
just want people to know
they do.
That it's not easy. So, you know,
it's
what,
not
what's the challenge
easy.
For you?
It's not easy. I think the challenge for me is I really don't have to say everything that I'm thinking. At the end of the day, I think we all should be in pursuit of peace, you know, like living your life without, you know, absent of a conflict. And it doesn't mean a peaceful life, you know, you won't have drama and you won't have hurt and you won't have challenges. But if whatever it takes to remain at a peaceful place in your life and in your marriage, I think that was the biggest challenge for me. Just pick your battles and, you know, just always try to keep and maintain peace.
Okay. And I think that's important because nobody wants that. And listeners, we know the sun does not shine every day, but overall,
exactly.
If you cannot say that, you know, honestly, that you have a strong foundation of a marriage, then that you may want to reevaluate some things. Because yes, we know you get those moments. This is not this reality TV where everything looks perfect and we live in a perfect world. But it's all about how I think a lot of it has to do with how you respond to situations when they occur in marriage.
Exactly.
And so we're going to wrap up with one last question. And, Kawana, I'll just start with you on this one. How do you feel, because there are a lot of couples out here that they don't go to church together, or you have more of the wife that goes to church opposed to the husband. So how do you feel about couples going to church together and having that union together in marriage, and not even in marriage, prior to you even going into a marriage, into a relationship? What's your take on, you know, how you feel about couples going to church and not the husband sending the wife and the wife going alone and them not going together?
I think it's important. It's actually vital to a relationship, a successful marriage or potential marriage in a relationship, that the spouse, husband, fiance be a part of the spiritual journey, because he needs to lead, and that's in the Bible. It's stated throughout the Bible that the man is the leader. He is the head of the household, whether he makes a penny or he makes $1 million a year. He is the head of the household. So he needs to know how to lead in that regard. And if he doesn't have that leadership flowing through him and that guidance, how is he supposed to lead his family? And that kind of, you know, puts the onus back on the female, and she's feeling like she's in charge and she has to pull him along, and it just becomes more drudgery than anything else. It's already setting up for a failed situation. So I think that it would incline a man to really want to be a part of that from the beginning and have that leadership, have that fellowship, so that way they know how to deal with challenges as they arise, because at the end of the day, as I've stated, the man is the head of the household. He is the leader. He is the go-to. It's a must.
And men, do you hear that? So you don't want to send your wife or your significant other to church on Sundays alone and let her come back and tell you how great the word was and how they stepped on you guys' toes and so forth. You want to be there with her at her side, because I honestly have to agree with you. I think that grows a strong foundation in any relationship as well as any marriage. And the motivating piece, what the segment really targeted overall, how to stay motivated, everything that we discussed in this segment, how to stay motivated as we wrap up, what is the one thing that keeps you motivated on a day-to-day basis in your marriage, Sharon?
I love love, and I love being in love,
okay.
And I love the fact that I,
awesome.
You know, I have a partner, you know what I'm saying, that gets me, and I come with flaws, and he's not looking for perfection. So we just keep pressing. I mean, I think that, you know, we all know that there are challenges, but I just feel like, you know, hey, I've struggled, I've failed, I figured this thing out, and now, you know, I'm going to share it with everyone, and I just pray, you know, that my marriage will be an example to others. So if you want to set the example, then you have to kind of, quote, unquote, live your life a certain way, because you just never know who's looking at you. But, yeah, I do love this whole love thing.
Awesome. And, Kawana, this is your last question for you as well. I mean, what motivates you daily when you wake up in the morning what motivates you to keep your marriage intact and to have a successful marriage?
Basically, I feel that God has already put that on my heart to persevere. It's about perseverance and dedication to the love that we've had. Like I said earlier, we were friends since, you know, we were young teenagers, and we had a very, very good friendship to the point where, you know, it wound up turning into a love affair and a marriage and children and house and moving from New York to North Carolina to Maryland. So, you know, it's just like Sharon said, it's the love and it's the perseverance, and you're going to have your peaks, you're going to have your lows, and you just want to persevere through that. So for me, it's waking up knowing that my husband loves me immensely. He wakes up telling me how beautiful I am, stinky breath and all. He'll kiss me and, you know, hug me and tell me to have a great day and text me all day long, I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's what keeps me going. That's really what keeps me going. The love
and
is definitely
and that's
there.
Love.
And, yeah, that's love. That's love. Kissing my bad breath. That's love. That's loving me.
Well, well, ladies, I would like to have the host answer that question.
Okay, well, what keeps me motivated is actually learning, truthfully, honestly, I can say learning how to be married. And that motivates me to manage a successful marriage mm-hmm. because, again, for those that did not hear the beginning of the segment, I am new to this married thing. I'm not new to being in a relationship, but I am new to being married. And I do know that the roles do change when you become a wife opposed to when you were the girlfriend or, you know, the significant other, the roles do change. And so what motivates me, too, is I have a great husband that loves me unconditionally, that would do absolutely anything for me. And, you know, sometimes it's easy to put up with me and sometimes it's not. So for him to put up with me, so for him to, you know, deal with me on a day-to-day basis, with my flaws that I do have and things of that nature and continuously wanting to grow and build our marriage into something successful, that motivates me every day. And before you ladies, before we wrap the call up, before you ladies disconnect, I just want to say that Kawana Jackson, one of the guests on the call, she's actually an aspiring author for the upcoming book, Simply Lace, and it will be released this summer. And you can follow her on Facebook, Simply Lace, and that's Simply Lace. And Kawana, what is your Instagram handle?
It is IAM_Simply_KIT. So it's IAM_Simply_T.
Okay. And so look out for her book that'll be released this summer. And Simply Lace is going to be a great novel, great love story.
Absolutely.
You don't want to miss it.
Absolutely. A compelling love story. Compelling. Very compelling. There'll be a lot of roller coaster rides with this one.
So it might be a little piggyback on our marriage sequel. And Sharon Mabry is the owner and director of Color It Purple Event Planning. And you can also like her page on Facebook, which is Color It Purple Event Planning. And also her email handle, I believe, Sharon, is it at smabry1?
Yes, correction. My Facebook business page is Your Purple Event. And my IG name is at, and my Instagram name is smabry1, MABRY1.
Okay, great. And so if you have any, if any of you out there have any events coming up that you need an event planner, which a lot of us do. Sometimes we try to take control ourselves. But if you do need an event planner, you want to reach out to Sharon. And ladies, I want to thank you again. I want to thank our listeners out there for listening in on the call. And until we talk again, you guys have a great evening.
Thank you
for
so
joining
much.
Motivate
Everybody
My Life Radio. Yes, thank you, ladies. And thank you all again for joining Motivate My Life Radio.